بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة البقرة. Allah Ta'ala points out a very important principle. He addresses all humanity. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ. Across the board, he addresses everybody. Muslims, Christians, Jews, Sabians. Sabians, there isn't anything conclusive about them. The Mufassirin have differences of opinion. Some say that they used to worship stars. And some say that they believe in Allah Ta'ala, and they believe that there wasn't a need for a Nabi. We can gain access to Allah Ta'ala directly without the agency of a Nabi. And there was a third group of Sabians. Their belief was that all the celestial heavenly bodies have to be respected. Have to be respected and will bow down to them out of respect. Not as a deity, but as a token of respect. So it was like a mixed up group. Some say it was a religion between Christianity, between Judaism and fire worship. So it's about four or five different opinions about the Sabians. Nonetheless, Allah Ta'ala speaks about them when He says, "Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wa amila salihan." Whether it is a Muslim, whether it is a Christian, a Jew, or a Sabian, provided he believes in Allah in the last day and he does righteous works. So all the good of the akhirat, all the good of the hereafter are promised for these groups. So the question that comes about is this, that Allah Ta'ala is addressing all humanity and then He shows them the standard. That this is the standard and this is the criteria that you need to conform to. So why does he address everybody, including the believers into this? So he addresses them in this manner to show that in our formula there is no prejudice and there is no favoritism. The standard that has been made is without prejudice. To impress upon us that there is no discrimination on the basis of color, no discrimination on the basis of race, nationality, language. If there is a discrimination, then the discrimination is on faith and righteous works. So the two discriminatory factors are faith and righteous works. Now the question that comes about after this is, when Allah Pak speaks about faith and iman, He says, believe in Allah and the last day. Believe in Allah and the last day. So when you say believe in Allah Ta'ala and the last day, then does it mean that Christians and Jews, everybody, they can gain access into this criteria? Because they also believe in Allah and they believe in the last day. Right? They said, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. So they believe in Qiyamah when they say, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Right? And they believe in Allah when they say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاهُ. So they've got iman in Allah Ta'ala, and they've got iman in the last day. Right? So if it was just a straightforward and a simple formula, then forget the Jew and the Christian. Even Iblis would have gained access in this. So this formula, just say believe in Allah Ta'ala at the last day, then forget the Christian and the Jew getting a place in Jannat. Even Iblis and Shaitan gets a place in Jannat. Because he said, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yubatun. So he believed in Allah Ta'ala and he believed in the last day. For him to say, spare me, O my Rabb, to the last day, spare me to the day of resurrection. So he believed in Allah Ta'ala and he believed in the last day. So that means he also then will get into Jannat. So then what is the meaning of Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhiri wa amila salihan? So it is important that we don't give our own tafsirs. Whether it's an alim or a ghair alim. But we go and see what do the mufassirin have to say about this. Unfortunately, we are going through a time that everybody wants to say something of his own. An ordinary person wants to say something of his own. A person that knows a little bit Arabic, he wants to say something of his own. A person who knows a little bit in Jamaat, he wants to say something of his own. He look at the translation and he feels that I come under the ambit of this translation. So that is not fair. It's not a fair relationship with the Quran or with the Hadith. Whether it is the Quran or the Hadith, we need to see, well, do we come under the ambit of the explanation given by those that had specialized? Because those that are specialized, they are given the day and the night, the sweat and the blood. They have given everything to specialize, to understand it correctly. What's the correct purport? What is this verse leading to? What does it refer to? What was the reason for revelation? They have learned and mastered everything, and then they come to a conclusion. And you're looking to a straightforward translation and coming to your own conclusions, obviously, you are not going to get the right meaning. Meaning will go totally off. So when you say, Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhiri wa amila saliha, who believes in Allah Ta'ala and the last day, what do you mean? So this is an idiomatic expression. Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir is an idiomatic expression. An idiomatic expression, normally what happens is the word is not intended. Right? It's an idiom and the actual literal word is not intended. There is a meaning that is intended that is not within the word. Something else has been intended, right? Like when you see someone is saying something ridiculous, right? You say you're mad. Right. But is the person really mad? If it was a really mad person, then you wouldn't have discussed with him, you wouldn't have shouted him, because you know he's mad, right? So there's something beyond that which has been intended, right? So there's an idiomatic expression. Every language will have some idioms, right? And if you don't learn the idioms and speak, then you'll be an idiot. Right? So you have to learn what is the idiom, what is it referring to. So you said, Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir, believes in Allah Ta'ala in the last day. What it means that the faith in Allah Ta'ala is the first article in faith, and the last article in faith is to believe in resurrection. Right? The first article of faith is to believe in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, and the last article of faith is to believe in the last day, resurrection, etc. Right? So when you said believe in Allah Ta'ala and the last day, what you refer to is you believe in all the articles of faith. Like you said in the Quran, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah Ta'ala belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. So what you are saying that everything that comes in between also is Allah Ta'ala's. Whether it is in the heavens, whether it's in the earth, but whatever comes in between, all belongs to Allah Ta'ala. So when you said, Billahi, man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir, in other words, all the articles of faith that come in between, belief in Allah Ta'ala and the last day, you believe in all that. Whether it's the belief in the Anbiya, belief in the Malaika, belief in Taqdeer, belief in the heavenly books. So all these things will come in between man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. So when everything comes everything comes between man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir, if someone fails to believe in any one of those articles of faith, then he's out of Islam. And how you understand that he's out of Islam? With the failure of believing in any one of the articles of faith. Look at the flaw of Iblis. The flaw of Iblis was, he failed or he refused. Let us say he refused. He blankly refused to recognize Adam alayhi salam. So just one Nabi in the galaxy of Anbiya, and Allah Pak says, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِ. He's a kafir. One Nabi in the galaxy of the Anbiya, he refused, blankly, flatly refused to accept him. For his refusal to accept him, for his refusal to recognize him, then Allah Pak said, كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So he is declared a kafir. Right? So if Allah Pak is going to admit any person into Jannah, then he'll have to have all his articles of faith right. The first or the last, you have to have all the articles of faith right. And if there is some defect, then he'll be out of the cause. He will be out of the cause of Iman. Right? So he is not on the cause of Iman, he's out of the cause of Iman. When he's out of the cause of Iman, then he can't be eligible to Jannat. And if he was made eligible to Jannat, then Iblis could have complained to Allah Ta'ala that this person has a flaw similar to my flaw. He has a weakness similar to my weakness. If he is defective, then I am defective. If I didn't believe in Adam alayhi salam, and I didn't recognize him, right? Then these people don't recognize Musa alayhi salam, for example, the Christians. And for example, the Jews, they fail to accept Isa alayhi salam. So if I have a flaw, then they have a flaw as well. So then why am I singled out? So he could have had a complaint to Allah Ta'ala that I also failed to refused to accept one Nabi. They also failed and refused to accept another Nabi. So if I am out, then they are out as well. Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. So it shows the first article of faith and the last article of faith. The articles of faith is showing us one sabak, and the sabak that it's teaching us, that be absolutely honest. Absolutely honest. And this was a very, very outstanding thing in the Sahaba Kiram. And the higher the Sahabi was, the greater the Sahabi was, that he was, his relationship with Allah Ta'ala was absolutely profound, absolutely clear. There was absolutely no ambiguity in that. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, this is the last day of Nabi Sallam on the face of this earth. So the morning of that last day, that was a Monday, the morning, he sees Nabi Sallam has recovered quite well. Because in the Fajr, as the Fajr had started, Nabi Sallam was still in the house. So he moved the curtain, he moved the veil to see the Sahaba Kiram. And the Sahaba Kiram were so overjoyed, overcome with joy and happiness, that they say it was likely that we break our namaz. And we saw the face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and when he pulled the veil and we saw his face, we were overcome with joy. And he indicated that you'll continue your namaz. So after the Fajr, Abu Bakr went and found out what is the condition of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He found very well. So then, now, he is the confidant of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does things and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consults with him, right? In the Hijrat, Nabi Sallallahu had left his home midday, but Aisha radiallahu anha is saying that midday at the time nobody will come normally. And his head is covered He's covering himself from the heat and the rays of the sun, right? So he says, I need some seclusion. So Abu Bakr says, no, it's just your household. There's no strangers in this household. You can trust them not to disclose or divulge the secret. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi speaks about him being allowed to go to Medina to undertake the journey of Hijrah to Medina Munawwara. Abu Bakr now again asks permission, can I accompany you? As-suhbatu ya Rasulullah. He could have done this without the permission of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Bakr wanted to leave earlier. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had asked him not to leave. I have hopes that I will be given permission just now. Now he asked permission, can I join up? So in proportion to the relationship, now there's the honesty. There is no flaw of dishonesty. See? Small, simple thing, and he's asking permission, can I do this, must I do this? Must I do this, must I do this? Now you see the built up of the relationship doesn't just come like that. When there's a built up of a relationship, it comes on the level of honesty. And that honesty and confidence is like this. It grows like this. And where that honesty breaks is, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. When a man feels that I can do my own things, I don't need to ask and say, you know, I can do my own things. أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Where he thinks that he is self-sufficient. So when I'm self-sufficient, then I don't need to refer to anybody. I can do my own things. Right. So this is the point where you are not going to progress. You're going to, alright, you won't say that he's a disbeliever. You won't say he's a kafir. You won't say he's a fasik. You won't say he's a fajir. But now, that elevation, that progress of yours is going to be retarded. You're not going to be progressing. Because of the attitude, you see. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. So this retardant, where you get this retardment, where you get it from? Where you have an attitude. أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. اسْتَغْنَى can be translated as an attitude. Self-sufficient. Right? So that means when you get this type of a self-sufficient, I've got an attitude. Now remember that now you're not going to progress. The progress is decreed and decided by Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala looks at your level of honesty. What is the level of truth? اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. Has Abu Bakr, now it's the last day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so now he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, today I see you are alright, my other wife, can I go and visit her? Now see, it was a duty to go and visit his wife, but then he subjected himself to the permission of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Was it a faraz? Was it a wajib? Was it a sunnat al-muakkada? Nothing, right? But he subjected himself that today is the turn of my other wife, can I go and visit her? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave his approval, then he leaves. So, you're subjecting yourself. What level you subject yourself? What level you have shown that I don't have an attitude? To what level you have shown your humility? Now to that level now you begin to progress. Otherwise, on one occasion you showed humility, but on the other occasion you didn't show that level of humility. So that means you're playing a game. You're a con man. A very, very simple word, con man. On one occasion you showed, no, I'm very humble, showed some words of humility, etc. But on another occasion, did you show the same level of humility? You didn't show that same level of humility. That means there is something that is inconsistent. When there's an inconsistency, now you see that the type of benefit that you were getting, you don't get that benefit. You'll get, I don't say you won't get that face, don't say you won't get that barakat, but what you were accustomed to, what you were used to, now you don't get that. But you see that the fine line, the very, very fine line, and how you need to take care of this fine line, that you are consistent, that honesty. When the Quran Sharif is saying, يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. What's going to be beneficial is your truth. Right? What's going to be working out is your truth. normally I quote this story, but this story proves this point. It's just a story, right? And proves the point, يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِّقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. Man is selling milk, right? He's got a bucket of milk. That's how they sell it in India, right? So you milk your cow, and you take the bucket and you go and sell. So he says, I've got 10 liters, and this bucket can take 20 liters. So let me fill it up with water. People, they're not going to make the difference. How are they going to make the difference whether it is water or milk that I'm selling? In the meanwhile, I'll get double the profit. If I was getting, say, 100 rands for this bucket, now I'll get 200 for the bucket. All I have to do is just fill it up with water. Finish. Sold it, and he got the 200 rands. The earnings for the day has come in, right? Now he's going to rest under a tree. He's fast asleep, so the monkey saw something very attractive. The monkey looks at color. Animals look at color. Picked up the wallet, colorful, and it went up the tree. And as it comes up the tree now you see, hey, some coins here, but that coin's got no taste. So he's throwing those coins down. One into the well, underneath the tree, and one onto the ground. So one inside and one outside. One inside, one outside. يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. This man gets up and he sees this what's happening to his money. He says, dood ka dood aur paani ka paani. See? Dood ka dood, paani ka paani. You talk of ikhlas, comes to the same thing. Siddh comes to the same thing. And iman is also bringing you to that same level. What is the level of truth? If you are honest and you are truthful, then what is the level? Is it just to show, to impress? Is it a con man? Or are you genuinely truthful? What is the level of your truth? So when the level of truth is good, then you don't have to put up an act. You don't have to put up an act, that thing. Then it will just come out simply, plain. You understand the person. But if the level of truth is not there, then you have to put up an act, a camouflage, to show that I am very truthful. Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali received a gift from a wealthy person, right? So, there was a person that was not so well to do. He couldn't offer the gift. So he must have felt, this person is wealthy and he can show some token. Through his wealth he can show, right? So now, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah has to cover the entire situation. He knows the level of this person's sincerity, and he can't disregard this person as well, right? So he says, Hadiya, Dalila Muhabbat hai. Hadiya, Dalila Muhabbat hai. When a person gives a gift, then it's a proof of Muhabbat. Lekin, jiski Muhabbat بہت ہی زیادہ مضبوط ہے تو اس کو دلیل کی ضرورت نہیں. But if someone's محبت is very deeply rooted, then he doesn't need to have a proof for his محبت. See, one person needs to prove his محبت, you know, I'm love, right? So that person whose محبت is already very well ground, is rooted, then he doesn't need any دلیل. But he doesn't have that level of محبت, then he needs to support it in this way and that way, one way and the other. He needs to support that muhabbat of his. So the one thing that is the criteria is iman. And iman, when you analyze that iman, it is leading you, it's driving you to the point of truth. Honesty, truth, absolutely clean. And that will bring you to that level where you're not going to do things of your own. But then, don't become a headache also. What must I do? This phoning? I must do this, must do this. You will take permission, but now, make you be relaxed and keep the other person also relaxed. Otherwise, person begins to feel now, all the time is mine. So I can phone, I can talk, I can do anything at any time. That's not the way you go about doing things. There's a time for everything. So, When you do things within the time, then you are taken with cheer. But you do things against time, at your convenience, not looking at the convenience of the next person, then obviously he can't receive you with that level of muhabbat. So understand, all right, what is his convenience, what is his comfort, contact the person and talk to him. So the one thing that Allah Pak looks at all the time is your level of muhabbat, that ikhlas. Call it ikhlas, call it honesty, call it muhabbat, call it sidq, whatever you want to call it, but it takes you to the same point. That this whole suluk is teaching you, it starts off with ikhlas, ending up with ihsan, same thing. Call it sidq, call it ihsan, call it tazkiyah, call it honesty, call it whatever you want to call it. But this is the stepping stone, the first step. And this first step is to keep checking yourself, grinding yourself, grounding yourself, inspecting it all the time, all the time. I don't say now leave your work, postpone your work, but you're doing something, now you don't want to do something and later on discover it was wasted. My time was wasted, my money was wasted, everything was wasted. So understand that what you invest in your time, your energy, your money in is coming with some return. And if you are sure about it, very good. If you're not sure about it, then find out. There's two things coming in at one at the same time. This is also beneficial, this is also beneficial. What are you supposed to be doing at that time? Fazaji Rahmatullahi says that student is studying his kitab, right? Showing you sidq, iman, ikhlas, ihsan, all this is coming in different forms, but it's leading you to the same direction. So it's a student that is studying at a madrasa. In the meanwhile, he has heard that there is some jihad taking place. And he's fired up now, this jihad, and let me go. But he said, no, I got a sheikh, so let me go and find out. You see, he's studying and jihad. Now one clashing the other. If you talk of the afdalul amal, then they say iman billah. First is iman, Bukhari Sharif. And after iman, one hadith says, as-salatu ala waqtiha, namaz on its time. In another hadith, al-jihadu fi sabilillah. So one hadith is saying, that to perform the namaz on its time, and the other hadith is saying jihad and striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Right? So that's an explanation on its own. But now this student is studying, and there's a call for jihad. So he's getting fired up, he's young, and he's fired up, I need to go for jihad. Now, what do you do at that time? Are you going to reason yourself, or are you going to subject yourself to a mashwara? So his level of ikhlas, his level of tazkiyah, his level of ihsan, pushed him to go and consult his sheikh. Okay, I got a sheikh now, I can't make a decision on my own. Now he's a great alim, great person, specializing in some kitabs. But he said, no, I need to go and confirm this. Got a sheikh, let me go and find out. So when a person has got an attitude, what's wrong in that? He will just shrug his shoulders. What's wrong? What's the big deal in this? This is how he will talk. But the person that's got the higher level of ikhlas, you know, no, I must go and find out. I must humble myself. No matter what position I've got, but I must humble myself. As Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is in Deoband. He already did his Dora in Saharanpur, but his father's instruction is go and do it in Deoband. So he goes. Father's instruction. He hears in the meanwhile as Sheikh Uladiz Rahmatullahi that his Sheikh and Ustad is not feeling well. So he takes permission, writes a letter to the Sheikh that I heard that you're not feeling well and my heart desires that I must come and pay you a visit. All I will miss out is 1 hour, one period I'll miss out only. But I'll meet you and I'll come back and just 1 period I'll miss out. Have I got the permission? So the Sheikh now, see he subjected himself. So the Sheikh writes that you're talking of missing out 1 period, right? In my opinion, for one hadith to go not under the guidance of the ustad, right, for allowing one hadith to go, but not under the supervision, not under the eye of the ustad, is a loss that is irreparable. It's a loss that is irreparable. You can't go and repair the thing. But how did he get this advantage? How did he get this benefit when he subjected himself? Had he thought to himself, well, it's one hadith, one period that I can just make in a takrar, cover up. What's wrong with that? What's the big deal? It's not a train smash. A small thing like this, I can get it again. What's wrong? If he had an attitude, then he wouldn't have referred himself to Mashwara. But when he had subjected himself to Mashwara, I can't do things on my own. So now today's challenge is, this is the challenge of today. And if anything comes in your mind, let me do it. What's wrong? What's wrong with that? You see, we shrug our shoulders and say, what's wrong? It's a big matter. Now I must go and worship the person. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, when he had stumbled, and he had made some derogative remarks, right? So someone told him, see, some wahi will come down, and you better go and settle the score, ask the reason for forgiveness. So he said, إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْ يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ رَوَّوْ رُؤُوسَهُمْ وَيَسُدُّونَ. So he says, see, this is now the attitude of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Now talking about truth and iman. Against iman and truth, you talk about nifaq. So the Ra'isul Munafiqeen, what he's saying? So you people ask me to perform namaz, so I'm performing namaz. You ask me to give zakat, I'm giving zakat. Now you want me to go and prostrate and bow down to this person. See the response. So what's wrong? If I did it, what's wrong? Is nothing wrong? See, so that attitude had the better over him. And that attitude then takes him to Jahannam. But where it starts off at this point. Now this is the challenge of the day. The truth, that honesty, that ikhlas, that sincerity. To what level have you got it? Allah Pak looks on that. That's the benchmark. That's the criteria. So, man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. Allah Pak brings that as a criteria. And this criteria is so perfect, so comprehensive and so dynamic, that this is the first word that is prompted. The best zikr to be made. And the last word to be recited. So, it shows that there can't be anything above this. But then, Allah Pak give us the grace to understand the dynamics of this kalima. The details and what this kalima has got, Allah Pak grant us that understanding to get the dynamics of this kalima. Every single thing, we're passing it, we're understanding it. In the way we need to understand it and pass it, we are passing it in that way. Now then you see your iman is just growing and strengthening. Yeah? And then you see that consistency and then you see you're just moving up. But then this is what is required. See, the level of honesty, the level of sincerity, that level of selflessness. One is you feel you're self-sufficient, so you show an attitude. And the other is that you feel yourself selfless. So when you see yourself selfless, then I need to go and sort it out. What do I do? How do I work this out? So the student we talked about that he's speaking of, rahmatullahi alayh, he's studying and he's doing some tazkiyah as well. In the meanwhile, there's a call for jihad. So there's a clash. Both are interesting, both are exciting. Jihad is very exciting. And studying and tazkiyah is also very exciting. So what do I do? Now, he is fired up. He's young and he's fired up. Let me go out. So now I got a sheikh. I got a senior. I got someone above me. With all the fire in me, let me go and refer to my sheikh. The sheikh said, "Bhai, you see, this getting fired up to go out in jihad is from your nafs. It is not based on sincerity. It's not based on the total sincerity. You may be sincere to some level, but not in total sincerity. Because deep down within your heart is, you see, Islah and tazkiyah and studying and all that, it will take another 15 years. Ikhlas, then sincerity, then studying, and then specializing on kitab. It's a long, drawn battle. And then after that also, I'm not over. I have to keep smashing the nafs. Nafs wants something and I have to smash it down. Want something and I have to smash it down. So it's a very long drawn battle. And you come to jihad, you just offer yourself, there are you shaheed and you go on Jannah straight, class. Shortcut to Jannah. This one is a very long drawn battle. So why must we go for that long battle? Let's go for this shortcut. Get it. So this is coming from shaitan, this is coming from nafs. The nafs don't want to take on the strain, doesn't want to take on that burden. Allow that burden now, just go, throw yourself and give yourself. Whereas the jihad at that time wasn't farz ain, nor farz kifaya. It wasn't even sunnah al muqaddah, it was just at the level of mustahab. But you wanted to do this to save yourself from all this arduous journey, all that difficulty and whatever else. You want to save yourself. So the easy path, you just go and offer yourself with all you killed, though you shaheed and gone to Jannah straight. So that means it was not done purely for the love of Allah Ta'ala. And the jihad, real jihad is, you offered your life purely for the love of Allah Ta'ala. Here it was not purely for the love of Allah Ta'ala, purely for your Jannah, purely for your own comfort. Not based on the pure love of Allah Ta'ala. Pure love of Allah Ta'ala is different, and purely for your comfort is a different thing altogether. Now, how are you going to get there? You're not going to get there of your own. You'll have to get yourself supervised. If you don't get yourself supervised, then you say, hey, it's jihad, now what's wrong? I will give off of my life and go on straight to Jannah. So that is a person that is not under any supervision. So the one thing that we need to get right is iman, ikhlas, honesty, sidq. You need to get this thing right. At every level, get it right. And that is why I say the most effective thing is La ilaha illallah. In Ramadan also, you have to read the La ilaha illallah. But as a preparation for Ramadan, from now we increase that La ilaha illallah. Instead of engaging in other futile talks, etc., etc. So La ilaha illallah, any free time you've got La ilaha illallah. At least that noor of La ilaha illallah, the message of La ilaha illallah, the dynamics of La ilaha illallah must permeate your heart, deep into your soul, must go into it. So then you get to understand that there is something about ikhlas I don't know still. I was doing things of my own mind, of my own understanding I was doing things, and I understand now that there are different levels of La ilaha illallah, and those different levels of La ilaha illallah, I didn't understand it. So by reciting that kalima, at least the minimum that will be acquired, you'll be able to discover some of the weaknesses and the treachery of your own nafs. The weakness and the treachery of your own nafs you'll begin to understand and explore. So the first thing that is the benchmark by Allah Ta'ala is your iman. Right? And the second thing is wa amila saliha. When we talk of amila saliha, righteous works are of two, it comes in two dimensions, right? One is the righteous works that we know of, namaz, zikr, tilawat, etc. Right? That's your individual ibadat. Right? And the second is the good character and good values. So one is your personal righteousness, right? Your personal righteousness, what it requires, that you don't waste your time. You don't allow your time to go in anything that is vain. You don't allow your time to go in things that is of a secondary nature. You're going for the right things. You're investing your time in the right things. Nawab Chatauri, a great, great Nawab, very, very wealthy. Now, some of his Nawabs, they were supporting the whole Haramain. Imagine the whole Makkah, Medina, one Nawab is supporting it. He's maintaining the whole thing in those days when they didn't discover the oil as yet, right? One Nawab is supporting the whole thing. So he wants to come and settle in Makkah Mukarrama. So he asks Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali that I want to settle here. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah says, yes, you come and settle here, but you see, you are supporting people in the Haramain, right? Now you go get all this sorted out in India, then come here. Because if you're going to be here and doing all this type of charitable work, your mind will not be in Makkah and your mind will not be in India. Sometimes you're waiting for the money to come from India. And sometimes those that are the recipients, they'll be coming to you. Adi Sahib, I need something. That person will come, I need something. Isha Namaz, before Isha Namaz, someone is coming. After Isha Namaz, someone is coming. So you're getting interrupted all the time. So get that all sorted out, and you have an agent here who will be doing the distribution. Your mind is going to be focused for what you have come. You have come to spend time with me. So your mind is totally focused in the work that you have come for. Come for your Islah, for your reformation, your correction, to benefit of the Haram Sharif. So your mind is in that which you have come for. Otherwise your mind is all in the charity, everything. Very good. We're not going to say that there's a clash. We're not going to say that there's no sincerity, but there's definitely a clash of interest. Namaz time is worried, hey, there's 10 people have to meet after Maghrib, and 2 people after Fajr, and that person that often I need to sort out, and that widow, what about her, who's going to take care of her? So your mind is embroiled in all these things. So you get that all sorted out, you've got an agent here, and you've got someone sending the cash from your treasury. So all that is set, all that is sorted out, you are just here focused on the work that you're supposed to be doing. Now all this comes when you consult, when you find out on my personal self, how do I go about doing it. See? Now people come and make mashwara, I need to make one investment here, make an investment. That's the sheikh's job. Right? Do your investment, do whatever you want to do. That's not our job. Our job is to train you in sincerity, ikhlas. I say, 1 million I lost here, and this happened here. Right? That's not our job then. Right? When ask a business consultant, you must do it or you mustn't do it. That's not our job. Our job is on ikhlas. Straight, right? Like you go to a business consultant, you won't tell him, you know, my Fajr namaz is going now. What must I do? He said, "Bhai, that's not my job. You go to someone else, the sheikh, he will do that work." So by the same token, this side, the job is not to consult about your business. It's unfair to go and tell him, you know, this investment and that, whatever, property. That's unfair to go and discuss these matters with him. So, the one dimension of righteousness is your individual ibadat. And the other dimension of righteousness is your akhlaq and your good character. How you conduct yourself. So, the gist of character and good values is you looking for the betterment of others rather than yourself. In anything, any situation, whether it's a Muslim, whether it's a non-Muslim, whether it's an animal, you're looking for the comfort of the next more than you look for your own comfort. That is the essence of akhlaq. The comfort and the good for the next person than yourself, right? Now you're in Jamaat, for example, so you see that person is snoring, you're not going to get him up, say, just park there, let me sleep, then you can snore. Right? So you look for the next person's interest more than your own comfort. In all situations, wherever you can manage, look for his comfort and then your comfort. Not many days ago, there was a situation. Young lad, and he boarded a bus. So he sees a young couple boarding the bus. And outwardly, he could see that woman that has boarded the bus, see she's in some terrible pain. What a pain now. He didn't want to go and investigate. It's a crowded bus, people of the same religion, nobody wants to afford her a seat. Nobody wants to give her the comfort of a seat. So the young lad, he sat there for a minute, but he couldn't tolerate this. He said, this woman, she's weak, she's got a husband here, she's in pain and difficulty, and I don't even have, as a Muslim, can I afford her the comfort of the seat? So he got up and he offers her the comfort of the seat. Journey ended, wherever she had to stop, she stopped. In the meanwhile, she was in labor, in the final stages of labor, and she couldn't handle it at all. You know what happens, the final stages of labor, water bag burst and all that, what people talk about nowadays. So she's in that final stage, and she can't manage it. So this person saw that there's something wrong, and he offered the seat. Anyway, she had to jump off with her husband, and as they just entered the hospital and the child was delivered. So now, how they have it, you know, after the child is born and all that, then the husband will come and show his respects, whatever. So the husband came in and he came to show his respects to his wife. So the wife says, you see, you know that youngster's behavior had a deep mark on my heart, mind. At that crucial point, I had people of my own. Nobody offered me any comfort. But this person belongs to a different creed and a different religion. He offered me that seat. So I made a vow, that I'm going to keep his name Muhammad. You see that good character and ways, etc. But it leaves its mark. After 10 years, 20 years, this man here, he saw me right. When nobody was seeing me right, he saw me right. He spoke to me in a gentle manner. I thought I was a useless person. But this man here, he brought me up. He gave me that morale. He picked me up from where I was to where I am now. This man, he did it for me. How he picked me up, how he picked my morale up. So that husband says, well, you know what, I've been concealing this from you, but ever since that happened, from that day I declared my shahadat and my acceptance of Islam. You had only vowed that you're going to keep the child Muslim, you're going to give a Muslim name, but I have vowed to become a Muslim. So, well, if you are becoming a Muslim, then how can I get left out? That we are a family, we are one unit, we have to be going together. So it can't be that you go in a different direction and I'm going in a different direction. Both will go in the same direction. In the meanwhile, this couple, although they are the poorer class, but they have the influence of the whole community, the whole town, they have the influence. So they say, no, before people begin to talk and there's whole rumors flying around here and there, let's assemble the whole community and announce our faith so that there mustn't be a confusion within the ranks of our people. So they assemble the people, 1,000, 2,000, and they declare the shahadat. The ikhlas was of such a level that the whole town, 2,000 people, they said, if you're all going that route, we're all Muslims also. But a little bit of akhlaq, character, honesty, goodness of the heart, good values, and what a dynamic effect it has. So these are the two things, these are the criteria, iman, sincerity, honest, truth. And the second is righteousness. And righteousness is two things, I said. One is good actions, and the other is good character. Allah Pak Tawfeeq Naseeb.